We're going to jump right in this morning. If you have your Bibles, open them to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start there with verse 11. I'm excited to be here this morning because a couple of things. If you'll get what I'm saying this morning, if you'll get what Jesus is saying, let me say it that way. Hopefully he's saying it through me, but if you'll get this, this will change your year 2018. It has the power to do incredible things within us. And what it is simply this. It's being grateful for what God has given us. Just having an attitude of gratitude, if you will. So when I was looking at this a couple of weeks ago and thinking, hey, you know, I like to talk about having the attitude of gratitude or having grateful hearts. Here's why, because I believe it's what Jesus wants for us to have. I've been all over the world and seen people with absolutely nothing, but their hearts are full. And you learn something from them that if as long as they have Jesus, as long as they have their family, many of them, if they have their health, that's all they need. But here in America, sometimes we're a little more fussy than that. Sometimes our needs aren't getting met. Sometimes we're frustrated because we didn't get that bonus we thought we were going to get this year. Sometimes we're frustrated we didn't get that raise. We didn't get these things that we deserve. Now, careful, because I'm going to unpack this here in just a moment. But sometimes we live life frustrated when life really isn't that bad. We just don't have the right heart, the right attitude that Jesus wants us to have in order for fulfillment to happen in our life. When Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, what he's saying is, I've got something more for you. Now, it may not be in the physical realm, if you will. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are those things? Well, it's the things of the kingdom. It's the things that have the potential to fulfill us. We are called children of the Most High God. How can we not be grateful for that? Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Imagine this. So here are some lepers, and leprosy is a terrible disease. It's a disease that has no boundaries. It's a disease that doesn't matter if you're a believer or a non-believer, if you're a Jew or a Samaritan, if you're a Gentile, regardless of what you are, there are no boundaries. This disease, so these 10 could have been Jews. We know that there was at least one Samaritan among them. And they have this terrible disease. Now, the scripture says, as they went, so with each step, they were walking into healing. Jesus just simply stated, here's what you do. Go present yourself to the priest. And as they went to the priest, as they took steps towards the priest, what happened? They became cleansed. Now, what a wonderful thing. I don't know about you, but I'd be very excited that was happening. Hey, let's take another step. Oh my goodness, let's take another step. My fingers are coming back. This is incredible. This is a good thing. Now watch what happens. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. Isn't it neat that God has given us an instrument in our voice, a loud voice? I love to hear people sing around me. I don't necessarily like to hear myself sing, but I love to hear a loud voice or loud voices praising God. And this is what he was doing. He was glorifying God. He fell down on his feet, on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan of all people. Now the Samaritans, you have to remember, the Jews were not friendly with the Samaritans. Samaritans were non-believers. They were pagans, if you will. Samaritans had a different way. And yet it's the Samaritan that as he's healed, he goes and finds himself at Jesus' feet. This is why John 3:16 is so important. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave to everyone this gift of himself. And here he makes it a point that it's the Samaritan that comes back and gives thanks. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? In other words, this one doesn't even have the history. The Jews at least have the history of the Messiah. This guy doesn't even have that kind of history, yet he comes and finds himself at my feet. Where are the other nine? And then he tells this man, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, there's basically two kinds of people in this world, church. There are givers and takers. Lovers and fighters. Alabama fans. Everybody else. The rest of the world, right? I'm not necessarily a Bama fan. My team was beaten a long time ago. Optimist and pessimist. Night owls and early risers. It's kind of interesting in our family that because we're kind of half and half. In my immediate family there, I mean, Bethany and I, at 9 o'clock, we need to find a pillow. I'm just telling you. You know, Core's hard on me. We got Core tonight. You guys, y'all get to praising God and glorifying God. We all glorify God till late. That's great. I love it. But just pray God can sustain me. Because if it hits 9 o'clock, well, I'm worshiping in my sleep. There are whiners and there are worshipers. But here's the thing. You get to decide who you're going to be this very moment, this very hour, for the rest of your life. You will never be younger than what you are right now. Does that make you feel good or does that make you feel bad? Right? But you get to decide. Throughout the course of your life, one will either dominate your view. One being that I am ungrateful for where I'm at and what I have, or one will be a heart of gratitude. You will recognize the blessing of God, or you will tend to overlook it. You will acknowledge God, or you will ignore Him. But here's the thing, you get to decide. I'm reading a book right now called The Compound Effect. Any of you ever read it? Okay, there's a handful of you. Good, because in the first service, there was no one. Like, my goodness. But in this book, this is one of the points that the author brings out is he simply says, hey, if I could give you $3 million today or a penny that would double for 31 days, which would you take? Now, you know it's a trick question, and you mathematicians out there are going, yeah, I'd take the penny. Well, here's the question. Do you know when that penny would outproduce your $3 million? It wouldn't be on the 15th day. No, you hadn't made much money on the 15th day. It wouldn't be on the 20th day. You still haven't made much money. On the 30th, 28th, 29th day, you've made around $5,000. But watch this. On the 31st day, you're worth $11,600,000 by doubling your penny. It's the compound effect. Here's the deal. Gratitude works in that same way. Years ago, I was doing the Texas Rodeo Bible Camp in Pampa, Allison and I, and she was leading worship. I was doing the preaching, and I was called, told my grandmother wasn't doing well. She was ill, and she had a severe headache. They didn't know if she were going to make it. And as a matter of fact, she didn't. We drove all the way back, and when I got there, grandmother said, oh, it's just my head, son. My head hurts so bad. And so we began to read scripture to her and pray over her. And the next thing I know, her hands are up in the air, and she's just praising God and giving Him the glory. And I thought, what a place to wind up in life. The compound effect. That as we praise today, we may not know the results that's going to have for our tomorrows. Because we may not see them in the immediate. But down the road, one day we will see what that looks like in our life. And here's the neat thing. Others will see it too. In one of the songs we sung this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, born of His love. Here's the neat thing about Blessed Assurance. You know who wrote that song? A woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. Her story goes this way. When she was just about 8 years old, she had an eye infection. She went in to see the doctor, and the doctor made a mistake. He put warm compresses on her eyes, which caused the infection to spread. She became blind. For the rest of her life, she was blinded. And yet she writes many hymns, not just Blessed Assurance. She writes over 1,000 hymns, enough to fill 15 hymnals. And she said, it seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for it. I thank Him for my blindness. How many of us have grateful hearts that could actually thank him for not having the ability to see? Well, maybe she could see, but not with her physical eyes, but with her spiritual eyes. She said, if I would have been able to see with my physical eyes, it would have become a distraction, and the opportunity to write hymns in the way that I could write wouldn't have been there. I can tell you, after 20 years of ministry, that most depression, most gloom, most anxiety lead to the lack of ingratitude. This is where most of it comes from. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes this, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Now, there's a veil that is removed where we can see and we can reflect the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is something that we ought to desire because people recognize the Lord's glory in you. An ungrateful heart will not have it. You will not show it. He goes on to say, and the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into what? His glorious image. Hearts of gratitude gives us that glorification. It's what God is looking for His people to carry. Gratitude produces people who simply see life differently. They sow seeds, good seeds, that will reproduce. Now, you may be out there saying, well, how do I become a grateful person? Curtis, you don't know what's happened in my life. I've had this happen, and right after that, I had this happen, and right after that, I had this happen, and my life's just been one misfortune after another. Well, listen, Jesus knows that. And if your faith is in Him, it's just like that Samaritan. He says, your faith has done what? It's made you well. Your faith in me and my abilities, my love for you, what I have, has made you well. So let's unpack this for a minute. Five differences between grateful and ungrateful people. Here's the first one. A humble heart versus a proud heart. A grateful person is a humble person, while ingratitude reveals a proud heart. Let me tell you, prideful people are usually very ungrateful. If you get around someone who's prideful, he said, I did this. I made that. I accomplished that. I. What happens when you no longer can? Live long enough. Oh, my mother, she had this picture of me when I was about 18. And I was behind a ski boat on that slalom and I was just laying it down. People, I should have brought it. And she had this picture blown up, you know, and our goal was always to get our elbow in the water when we're leaning, you know, when we're cutting. But I'm old now. I got behind the boat this summer, and I was very humbled. The first attempt to get me up on the ski, I about drowned. And after that, I had to tell the kids, the whole family, y'all got to move to the front of the boat. Everybody's got to get on the front of the boat because the boat was just doing this, you know. And so they get on the front of the boat, and Dad's driving the boat. I said, hit it. And I'm not kidding you, Lake McKenzie went down 5 inches because it was all in me. You see, you live long enough, you'll become humble. That prideful heart, somewhere in life, you're going to be humbled. And it's no longer in your strength that you can do or accomplish these things. This is why Jesus calls us to do things in Him, in His kingdom. See, as we do things in Him, as we humble ourselves, as He Himself is humble, Philippians chapter 2, as we humble ourselves, then it's His strength. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It comes from Him. He receives the glory. But prideful people, they want the glory. Henry W. Beecher said this, a humble mind is the soil out of which gratitude naturally grows. A humble mind is the soil out of which gratitude naturally grows. But when I get to a place where I feel I'm entitled, when I come to a place, say, hey, I didn't get that paycheck I thought I was going to get. I didn't get that raise. I didn't get that bonus. They don't see the value that I bring to this place. My goodness. Anybody seeing it? See, sometimes we have these ungrateful hearts. When God's saying, hey, I called you to my kingdom. I've given you gifts. gifts for you to use for me to build my kingdom, not yours. You know, it reminds me of a story of two old friends. You know, one was foul. He was in a depressed mood, and his buddy walks up. He says, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. My uncle died 3 weeks ago." "Oh, man, that is bad. But here's the good news. He left me $40,000. "Oh, really?" "Yeah, then 2 weeks ago, my cousin Eddie died, and he left me $85,000. "Geez, then last week, my great aunt died, and she left me $250,000. "Well, that's fantastic. Why do you have the long face?" And he said, "Well, no one died this week." Come on, guys, y'all got to help me. I'm trying here. Y'all got to have a grateful heart. I'm your pastor. I mean, that's just who you get today. I don't know. But you know, a proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. The second is God-centered versus self-centered. A grateful person is a God-centered person, while an ungrateful person is self-centered. Grateful people are seeking to bless others. Ungrateful people are bent on satisfying themselves. Gratitude has the power to move you from being selfish to being selfless. It's a path. Two common outcomes of ingratitude. One will put you in judgment of God, because eventually this is what you're going to say: "I didn't get mine. Life robbed me. Life cheated me." Listen, church, life is not equal for any of us. None of us are walking through the same things. Life does not look identical, nor will it ever. We each are created as individuals, and if we're not careful, we'll say, "Hey, I drew a poor card in this life. And because of that, I'm ungrateful. Why did you do that, God?" See, we become judgmental towards God. Ungrateful. The other will put you in a place of moral impurity. Now, I talk about moral impurity. This is why. Because we become unsatisfied in life. And because of this void, this vacancy, we say, "Hey, I'm going to do whatever I want, when I want, with whom I want." An ungrateful heart is quick to notice when self is unsatisfied. They become very vulnerable and resort to sinful acts in an attempt to eliminate pain with personal pressure. It's oftentimes where we wind up with an ungrateful heart. Pride comes before the fall, and what happens in this moral failure is we're saying, "Hey, I deserve this. I need this. I'm going to do this. God doesn't love me anyway." And that's a dangerous place to be. You know, I've been studying. I'm doing a little writing right now, Matthew 25, Matthew 7. Jesus says some unusual words. He says this: "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Now, how can the one who created it all, the entire universe, who went through extreme pain and death and bled completely out for each and every individual, how can he say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? I'll tell you why. Because the prideful person many times uses God's kingdom to build their own. Guys, be careful who you watch on TV. Be careful on what church you go to. Keep me accountable to some degree. Because here's what happens is there are many pastors, there are many preachers that have used the kingdom of God in order to build their own kingdoms. You know what I'm talking about. And God only recognizes one kingdom, and that's His kingdom. And the humble person says, "Lord, what gifts have you given me that I may use to build your kingdom?" Because he doesn't recognize any others, only his own. Number three, a whole heart versus an empty heart. Jesus made a promise. He said this. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. And what he's saying here is he's saying, "Hey, there is fulfillment in me." Remember, Jesus says that He came to give us life and give us life in abundance, or give us the abundant life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get anything and everything that you've ever asked for, that you've ever wanted. What it means is He's going to give you a life that's fulfilled. One of the reasons why people become very discouraged in life is because they feel like they're unfulfilled. I'm just not making a difference. And we become frustrated. That's not what God wants for us. That is the empty heart. The whole heart comes from a grateful person. Greg Easterbrook said it this way, a grateful person has a whole heart while an ungrateful person has an empty one. It's just kind of a paradox. Jesus wants us to know this morning that the more grateful we are with what we have, even if we're just counting our pennies, praying that they'll double every day, if we're grateful for those pennies, if we're grateful for what we do have, then here's the neat thing. We're faithful with what we have. And when we're faithful in the little, watch this, we become faithful with a lot. And our empty heart will become full because we're completely dependent upon Him. It's amazing to me here in America how we are. You go overseas and you find these people that are living in huts or living in these little dwelling places. Some of them, I've been over where there's Bedouins. And the Bedouins, you know, they just strap a bunch of camel leather together. That's really what it is. And then they put a stake in the middle and prop it up in the middle of the desert and say, we're so blessed. And I'm like, dude, you know, that's probably a good camel. Can't believe you. Use them for shade now. But it's amazing you can find people like that and that's all they have. But here in America, it looks very different. Did you know that our per capita income has doubled since 1960? And by the way, has the potential with some of the new tax laws and other things, and I'm not trying to go Republican or Democrat, I just want you to know, I've been reading on this, it's pretty fascinating. Things could get pretty good. The stock market's not doing bad. All right, I'm just saying, more money could be made. Now watch. And yet people fuss and are discouraged because they just don't have enough. Life expectancy. I went back and researched this just a couple of weeks ago. This is interesting. In the month of January 2018, if you are born, which none of you are, but if someone went into labor right now and gave birth, the chances of the life expectancy being between the life expectancy would be between 93 and 97 years of age here in America. That's amazing. Watch this. It's 107 in Japan. And look, and I know what some of you are thinking. Lord, why not have to be born in America? Why couldn't I have been born in Japan? It's just that easy, right? Sometimes we revert to that. But here's the thing. The average American is more prosperous than 99.4% of everyone who's ever lived on this earth. In spite of such affluence, 67% of Americans say they're unhappy and that life is not fulfilled. Contrast that with Paul. He's incarcerated. He's in a Roman dungeon. And he writes these words to the church at Philippi. But I have all and abound. My heart is full. Isn't that amazing? You see the difference? Because in Christ we have all. We have all. And this is what I mean this is what Jesus means when he says that he came that we might have life and have it abundant, that we'll have full, whole hearts. Life will mean something. The fourth thing, life-giving versus life-draining. This is kind of interesting. If you're a life-giving person, people want to be around you. People see something in you. Jesus says you're like a city on a hill, and that a city on a hill, people are attracted to you. People want to be around you. But then there are those who are somewhat life-draining. Isn't it interesting to be around someone life-draining? It makes you want to go visit them tomorrow. If you're always around a pessimist, if they're always complaining, if they can't just seem to get it right, And it seems like the world's against them, and they've always got something that they've got to unpack that is just against them and against them the next day and against them the next day. Here's the truth. That's just life-draining. There is nothing life-giving in that. God wants us to be life-giving people. Here's why Jesus said, I came that they might have life. But he also said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. We are to be life-giving people, not life-draining people. Matthew Henry wrote a commentary, and he was honestly one of my favorite commentarians. And then when I went to Duke for school and was there, they said, you can't use the Matthew Henry commentary. And I was like, well, my goodness. So I thought, well, there must be something wrong with Matthew Henry. Here's what's wrong with him. One of his best friends, Charles Chapman, wrote this about Matthew Henry. He said, Matthew Henry possessed the desirable attitude and power of looking on the bright side of everything. This pervaded his entire life. There was a loveliness in his spirit and a gladness in his heart which caused others to feel how happy a thing it must be to be a Christian. And Duke University said, we're the devils. You can't read someone who's happy all the time, who's full of joy, who looks at Scripture with that joyful lens, or looks through Scripture with that joyful lens. Now, I'm just kidding. I'm sure it was some kind of theological something. But here's the thing. It's amazing that his friend said others were attracted to him because of his Christian walk, how he was a joyful man. All of us know complainers and people who are wearisome. We do our best to avoid them because they drain us. Ingratitude is toxic. It is toxic. You know, the one thing more contagious than ingratitude, now listen to me, church, the one thing more contagious than ingratitude is gratitude. It's gratitude. When you're grateful, it causes other people to see what they have, to see who they have, and to see who they are. And finally, the last one is thankfulness versus complaining. If you want your 2018 to look different than your 2017, possibly it's this very thing right here, thankfulness versus complaining. Learn to have a grateful heart that is thankful for all that you have. Maybe today you just have the shirt that you wore to church. Good for you. I pray next week you'll have underwear and pants to match. But we're here to pray for one another. Have a thankful heart for what you have. An ungrateful heart will manifest in complaining. Don't do that. Learn to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 107:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Our God is for us. He is not against us. We have an opportunity to walk out 2018 and show a world that truly this is the year of our Lord. And one of the ways we do that is by having a grateful heart, a thankful heart. God loves us. He calls us His children. You know, there's a story of a missionary who wound up going over to Tobago in the Caribbean, and one Sunday morning, he went to visit a leper colony, and they were actually having a worship service in there. And he was somewhat of a worship leader himself, so when he went in, he asked, is there a song that y'all would like for me to lead you in? And there was a woman there. She didn't have a nose. She didn't have lips. The leprosy had really run through her body. And this is what she wanted him to lead them in: count your many blessings one by one. And the pastor stumbled outside. He couldn't even lead them. Says he stumbled outside in tears. His friend said, I guess you'll never sing that song again, will you? And he said, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way. Can we count our many blessings this morning? Can we show a world that we are the hope, that the hope of Jesus lives in us? And that you can look at us and know that we're a grateful people. And that our lives will express Jesus' kingdom, because in Jesus' kingdom it is full of righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans chapter 16. The kingdom of God consists of these things: righteousness, peace, and what? Joy. A grateful heart is a joyful heart. What does 2018 hold for you, church? There's two kinds of people in life. There are the grateful and there are the ungrateful. We have the power within us to change and be transformed into His image, which is a joyful, joyful image. It's the image of Christ. If you need prayer for anything this morning, we're here for you. We want to pray for you, encourage you. And maybe today you just want to come forward and have a prayer of thanksgiving. Have someone celebrate that with you tonight. That's what tonight's core is going to be. It's going to be about celebrating with each other about what Jesus has done for us. It's good to celebrate, because celebration gives us a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this church. Father, I pray that we would be a church that grows up in you, that is grateful for every day. Father, this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, it's a day that we'll never see again. So, Father, let us use it for your glory. Let us have grateful hearts for it and for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.